The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have
the rainbow connection. We make it when we read the scriptures. We hear that story from Noah, the story that God placed in the scriptures so that we would know about God's promise, that God will not deliberately or intentionally destroy the world again. The story is told that Noah was the one good one who is lifted up and saved with his family and two of each kind of animal. And the promise is given that God is not a God of destruction. I always find that kind of ironic, actually, that if you look at it, in the secular world, there is actually only one place in the secular world where God is actually acknowledged. And we in Hartford should know that well. The insurance industry. If you read a lot of your insurance forms, it'll often mention acts of God. It is the one secular place, and the irony is they're wrong. They're wrong not simply because they're wrong, first of all, because they're blaming bad things on God. The only thing that ever gets blamed on God are bad things. And beyond that, the scriptures make it clear that brokenness happens and pain happens, but not because it's an act of God. That's what the rainbow is a promise of. That the brokenness of the world happens not because God causes it, but because we live in a broken world. And the rainbow is a promise that God is present even in the midst of the brokenness. Now, most of us know the story of the rainbow, right? Most of us kind of make that rainbow connection. But I always find the scriptures interesting. A lot of times people know the one story, but they don't, in Paul Harvey's word, know the rest of the story. Because right after this story is told in the scripture about the rainbow, the very next verse, which never makes its way into any Sunday school curriculums, comes a section from scripture. It begins with Genesis, verse 18, chapter 9. Right after it says, "This is a sign of the covenant I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth," goes on to say, "The sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Cana. These three were the sons of Noah. And from these the whole earth was peopled. Noah, a man of the soil, was the first to plant a vineyard. He drank some of the wine and became drunk, and he laid uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. And then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their fathers. And their face was turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. How many of you learned that in Sunday school? It gets left out, doesn't it? I mean, it really does make sense. If you're spending that much time on a boat with just your family alone would probably send most people over the edge, but just your family and, you know, a bunch of animals, I kind of cannot judge what Noah did. I don't think most of us can. But the reality is, the very first thing we are told in the scriptures that Noah did right after getting off the boat and right after God makes this promise, right after God makes a promise that God's going to be faithful, and keep in mind, Noah was the best of anyone on the earth, all right? So right after this promise is made, the very first thing we are told is that Noah gets drunk, sheds his clothing, and passes out. I actually like that this is right there. I like that those two promises are right next to each other, because they remind us that God's promise is not dependent upon our action. That what God does doesn't depend on us being good or perfect, of us having it all together. The scripture tells that whole story. I mean, think about it. Abraham was promised to be a father of a great nation. And what does he do? He doesn't trust that God is going to give him the child that he wants, so he sleeps with his handmaid. And he tries to give away the land that God gave to him. Moses had 10 commandments, and the people were supposed to follow him. And while he turns his back and goes up to get the 10 commandments, the people don't trust God and make graven image. And Moses comes down, gets mad, and crashes the 10 commandments. People wanted a king, King David. He was the best of all the kings, the best of all the kings. You know, King David, who raped a woman and then killed her husband. Those are the great ones. That's why when we read the story of Jesus and the temptations, it's good for us to know that even though we fall, God succeeds. That God's promise is bigger than us. That God is greater than us and what we are doing and saying. That we're going to blow it. We are going to make mistakes again and again and again, and that's what the scriptures tell us. And God isn't going to pull God's promise away from us just because we are imperfect. Now, I learned something preparing for this sermon. I learned it in Bible study. I probably learned it once, but I wasn't a science person, so I wasn't paying attention. But a rainbow is actually a full circle. What we see from our earthly perspective is just half of it. It gets cut off from where we see things. Isn't that what it is here on earth? We live in such a broken place. And we think about God's promises. And we see the rainbow. But we also see the broken reality of the world. Whether we see the broken reality of the world as we hear of war and destruction in other countries, or how classrooms have become a place of fear and terror in our own country. Who amongst us doesn't sometimes wonder where God is and where God's promise is when we hear that? Or when we fail, when we fall short, when we do what we should not do. From our perspective, It is broken. Our world is broken. But when we get off of our plane, the fullness of God's promise is real. When we see from above, if you've ever flown when a rainbow is there, check it out. I've been told you can see the full circle. We have to get beyond our view in this broken world to recognize and see that God is greater and God's fullness completes what our broken world lends itself to. We need to make that rainbow connection. We need to make it when we see a rainbow, when the world rains or when our life rains down in pain and hurt and brokenness. We need to remember that promise and know that it is not dependent upon us any more than it was dependent upon Noah having it all together. Our salvation is not dependent upon the goodness of those who were leaders in the church, Noah's time or our time. Our salvation is not dependent upon those who see things from an earthly plane. But because of God, we are able to hold on in the midst of our brokenness to the belief of the fullness of God's grace that gives us hope even when we come to the end of our own rainbows and don't find a pot of gold. That God's promise is more powerful than any human sin. And even when we break it from our perspective, God makes a rainbow connection. The fullness, the full circle of love. So hold on to that. Hold on to that rainbow connection. When you fail, when those around you fail, or when our world seems broken, because God's promise, God's rainbow connection, is not dependent upon us, but a God who comes full circle with a connection of love. Amen.
Have you been half asleep, and have you heard voices? I've heard them calling my name. Are these the sweet songs that call the young sailors? I think they're one and the same. I've heard it too many times. It's something that I'm supposed to be. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers.